Psalm 102:18 should be familiar to most of us. Write this down for the next generation so people not yet born will praise God. If you go to Israel today, of all the many things you see, walking where Jesus walked and understanding the geography of the land, there is one place you will go that says it all, at least for me. It's called Megiddo. It is in between Jerusalem and the Sea of Galilee. It's basically out in the middle of nowhere. But you will find Megiddo mentioned all the way through the Old Testament and even through the New Testament. But what's amazing about it is that no one lives at Megiddo today. And so they're able to do archaeological work and excavations. And they have discovered over 20 different civilizations, if you will. 20 different people groups that inhabited this area called Megiddo. And they were able to dig down, and by using the shape of pottery or using other things that they discovered, they're able to really just identify each one of these layers and date them within a few years of probably where they actually are. It's amazing to see and to think about and to read about Level 17 being when David was king over Israel, or level 19 and above pertaining to some particular part of the history of Scripture. I want us to take, during the remaining minutes we have here today, to just simply walk through time, if you will. Time is relative. God doesn't keep a watch like we have. He is beyond time, but yet he has given us the feeling of what is past, what is present, and what is future. He has given us those concepts to draw from. When we think about the past, the psalmist in the 90th Psalm said it this way, "Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting. You are God." The past. Have you ever used the phrase, "Do you remember when?" If I were to ask you, "Do you remember when?" I can go back in my past and I can remember some of the memories that I have of growing up, of what my parents did for me, or did to me, my grandparents and our extended family. And I can remember trips that we took and vacations we spent on Lake Hamilton near Hot Springs, Arkansas. But every time I go back and remember when in my life, my remembering when was actually my parents' future. Does that make sense? That I go back in my life and I pinpoint things that make me smile and I wish things were like this again, we might say. But when I go back in my mind to those years when I was growing up, that represented the future for my parents. And so it is with the passing of time that God has allowed our lives to be such that as we keep up with what is happening, it's continuously that cycle of past, present, and future. And yes, indeed, I look back and I remember when, but I also know good and well now that when I'm remembering when, that represented the hopes and the dreams of my parents for their son, for the coming generations. That's what we've got to be about in the life of our church, my friends. It can't just be about remember when as though we want to go back to the past and be stuck there. But it is, we remember when, because we remember, I remember at least, that I grew up in a church that I didn't contribute a dime toward building. I received an education from a group of Baptist people in a convention that I didn't pay much for my education at all, but yet I was the beneficiary. I profited from the dreams of those who came before. For all generations. You've got to walk back to the past and remember when every now and then. But don't ever go back to that past and refuse to come back. You have the past and you have the present. We owe a lot to the ancient Roman Empire. For the first month in the year, tell me. Did you forget? A little more energy. The first month of every year, January. We get January from the Roman god named Janus, J-A-N-U-S. And the replica of the god Janus from the Roman Empire was a two-faced god. If you had a coin that represented Janus, then that face, one of the god faces would be looking back, one would be looking forward. And that's why the Romans passed along to us this idea of New Year's resolutions, because the Romans got stuck in January. For you see, Janus looked back to the past and looked to the future. But the Romans always had a hard time figuring out what connected the past to the future. And we know good and well that the connection to the past and the future is the present. It's actually you and me. The only connection that we have between yesterday and tomorrow just so happens to be those of us who live in the present. But where the Romans got it wrong in the first place, never really understanding what the present was all about, so they also misunderstood the other part of past, present, and future. Because when I say that the only link we have between the past and the future is you and me, it's you and me and Jesus. For Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says it eloquently like this: Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Christ literally means Messiah from the Hebrew language. So it's Jesus Messiah, Jesus the Christ. It's a title. It's not first name and last name. Jesus the Christ, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. What we have to do is make sure we don't get so embroiled in the present that we forget what came before and we never look for the promise of what lies ahead. Multitasking is a relatively new term in the English language, but you know what it's talking about. It refers to electronic gadgets. It refers to a Windows environment in a computer. It's where you're able to take care of several things and bounce from one to the other. And truly, there's some good things about multitasking. When you talk about a multitasker, you're talking about a person who seems to be able to spin plates over here and over there, that they can be taking care of this while looking back at that. They can answer this question and never lose their train of thought. But don't ever get so tied up in multitasking about what's here and now that you miss what God has for the future. Jesus the Christ, our Lord and Savior, the same yesterday, today, tomorrow. Well, it's easy to finish out. We have the past, we have the present, and we have the future. Are you sure about that? We have the past, we have the present, and we have
future.
Thank you. Thank you. Two people made a business deal in France some years ago. One was a retired lawyer. His name was André Ruffet. He made a business deal with Jean Calme. He agreed to take up an annuity of sorts to pay $500 a month until Miss Jean went to heaven. Then he would be able to take over the apartment that she lived in. It seemed like a pretty fair deal from his perspective, because when they cut this deal, Jean Calme was 90 years of age. 30 years later, $180,000 poorer. He still had no apartment because Miss Jean turned 120 years of age on the 21st day of February, the year 1995. And every year of those 30, on her birthday, she would send him a birthday card saying, "I'm still here." People try to second guess the future, don't they? It's because we're afraid of it, for one thing. And there's nothing wrong with the good, healthy fear for planning ahead. All of those things I understand. But it seems that we have this preoccupation. Really, I would call it an obsession. I think that a lot of misinterpretations of God's word are based on an obsession about the future. What do you want the preacher to preach on? The book of Revelation. What do you want to do if you're going to go to any conference? It's going to be one, what? Not about feeding the poor or ministering to the community, but if there's one about the prophecies of the end, that's the one you're going to pay to attend, because we all can't help it, can we? We're obsessed. We're afraid of the future. And yet, all the generations we've been talking about focus on what the future holds. I want to ask you to look at the baby for just a moment. I'm talking about the baby. Jesus, God incarnate. God could have chosen to come and enter this world in any shape, form, age he desired. He could have come as a mighty spirit. He could have come in any form that he so chose. And what did he choose? He chose to come into the world as we all do. Born of a woman. Having a mother. An earthly father. And why do you think God chose to reveal himself through Christ in his advent, Christmas time, as a baby? Well, it makes perfect sense. Because when you hold babies before a congregation, what do? We smile. Why? Because babies remind us of growth. Babies remind us that there is hope. Babies remind us of a new start. And so as believers, as Christians, we should not be apprehensive. We shouldn't try to plan ahead and purchase a future. We simply need to look at the baby who brings us new things. And on this day of all days, think about the mother. And I'm talking about moms all across this world. The writer of Proverbs put it this way in chapter 31, verse 25. Talking about the worthy woman, the mother, the ideal mother. Not sinless perfection. But he said, strength and dignity are her clothing. And she what? She smiles at the future. I am grateful that I had a mother that smiled at the future. My mother certainly would not claim perfection, but she did have a set of teeth that brought about this smile. It was pretty unbelievable. She smiled at the future because my mother didn't put trust in herself or in my father, though those were two pretty special people, at least to me. But she smiled at the future because she understood who held the future. Now, my mom's not here physically. She went to heaven some years ago. But there's not a day that goes by that I don't think of both of them, both my mom and my dad. And all those memories that were very painful at the beginning to even conjure up, because they didn't have the most pleasant of landings, you might say. But even those memories that are hard to understand or hard to remember have basically all faded away. And what I remember most about Juanita Gill Hatfield is her smile. You see, we walk out of a past into a present, looking forward to a future, and we wrap it all up, and you know what we call it? We call it eternity. And Jesus walks with us on this entire incredible journey. Folks, that's what every Sunday ought to be about. Every Sunday ought to be a high day of worship. And I'm not saying it isn't. But we can't all come together in one service every time we meet. We're just not equipped that way. But to do it on a day like today makes perfect sense, because as we look across this room, and as we know there are many of our future crawlers and climbers, as Susan reminded us, just across the atrium in the preschool hallway, we come today to proclaim that we know who holds our future. Because when we go back to the past and we live in the present as we should, but as we make preparations and look toward a future, we know that Jesus the Christ is with us. And all God's people said, amen. Here's how we proceed as we wrap up this time together. We're going to have that time of commitment. I have in my pocket a key that I've had on a keychain for the last several weeks. I'm going to take this key and I'm going to put it in one of these boxes that are on these tables that were brought in when we last were singing. I'm asking you to do the same. If you came in here without a key, just take a moment. We got plenty of time. There's a big bowl of them out there as you came in the front door. It symbolizes prayer. If it's the first time you've heard of it, if you would commit to praying about God's will in your life, grab that key and bring it down. Put it in these boxes. Children, you've had banks that have been given to you that you have been setting aside. Or maybe you have had a plan to make profit and to use your time and to use your income in such a way. And you've got it in that bank. I want you to bring it. I want you to put it on one of these tables. And the rest of us, a commitment card, a commitment envelope. Some of you have already committed ahead of time. I understand that. You might have just that key to bring down or a blank card, just as a gesture, just as an example that our church is together and unified in this effort. For all generations, we use this next song as an opportunity to get up from wherever you are and bring your commitments, bring your reminders of prayer in the form of these keys and put them on God's tables. Let's commit to all generations, right now.